much about. So easy.
You gotta put it in the perspective.
Good to see you, man. Is it hot in here? I feel hot. Are you guys hot? How you guys doing? I'm good. You guys got any snacks?
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I used to come home and cry in high school and say, Mom, I don't want to be pretty anymore. And she'd be like, you stop it. Heavy is the head that wears the crown.
Oh my God, really?
I did a little research, and divorce is the number 2 most stressful event in a person's life. Of course, marriage is number 7, so watch out, everyone. It's all bad.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
Look at that. It's the size of my head. You could barely fit your fingers around it. I'm just going to give it a taste. Oh, man, that is fantastic.
And now.
Hey, dude, what's going on?
Teenage rebellion.
Yeah, stick it to the old people.
Our feature presentation.
And now it's time for a moment with Kevin. Awesome.
And they all have their rules in place that they will accept of a shapeshifter and a werewolf and a vampire. Everybody's got the rules that they really want to stick by. Do you get a lot of in response from people like that?
That right. Was a moment with Kevin.
I think I'm happy with that.
Okay. Well, I don't think you could do better than that.
I'm pretty sure that's about as good as I can get. So.
I know it was a busy television night. Sundays are, but anyone watch True Blood last night?
Yes, I did.
No.
Was
okay.
It as awesome? Was it as awesome as Sam said it was?
Yes. Well, nice. I don't. Yes.
Yeah. It sounds like you're qualifying.
I forget what he said exactly.
He just said it was the best episode they've done in a couple of years.
Best.
He's really, really excited.
Could be. It was really good.
Okay.
I love that show.
I may need to get on board with that.
Well, you can do what I did and catch up on the DVDs. But here's my issue. I'm recording the new season, mm-hmm. but I am just starting the 4th season because it only came out a couple of weeks ago.
Oh, I see. You don't want me to just...
No!
Just tell you?
No!
Okay.
I know because... I'm running a huge risk here, but
all right.
No.
I would like to hear Kevin try to recap an entire season of any TV show, but especially one as complicated as True Blood.
I think he was just going to tell me about last night. He was going to spoil that.
I would never spoil a TV show for anyone, except for Mugs.
Okay.
If it was beer Mugs,
deserves it. Yeah. It is Monday. Welcome into the Kevin and Bean Show. Here's an interesting story to get us going for a brand new week. It's another case of, and I didn't know this word until I read the article, autopiotomy. Autopiotomy. Anyone ever heard that word before?
Nope.
No?
Well, it's when you cut off your own penis.
Oh, man.
We see a couple of stories a year where something like this happened, but this one just happened Thursday morning. Police in Fremont, California, which is a suburb of San Francisco, responded to a 911 call. It doesn't say who made the call, but they found a 20-year-old man who had cut off his own penis with an X-Acto knife.
Oh, wow.
Right? Detective Bill Veteran told the San Francisco Chronicle that the man, whose name is being withheld, and here's the most shocking thing. This is even more shocking than the fact that the man cut off his own penis. That the man... was not under the influence of drugs or alcohol.
Then he's insane.
Then he's insane. Maybe he's crazy.
He is undergoing psychological examinations.
Yeah. I mean, you don't need to do that. He cut off his penis. So psychologically, he gets an F. What else you got?
Aren't these stories always they're on bath salts or something?
Yeah, something.
They don't know what they're doing?
Because
right?
they don't feel the pain. Because if you're feeling the pain, I mean, that's not something that you do in one swipe, right?
Wow.
Ouch.
Oh, geez.
This article quotes from the X-Acto knife website, by the way. Whether it's paper, wood, cloth, or any other material, X-Acto knives let you cut through almost anything with precision and ease.
Right. I don't think they were lumping, you know, your wiener into that group of things.
Oh, my God. An Indonesian man in 2010 cut off his penis after discovering his girlfriend planned on dumping him and marrying someone else.
Well, he showed her.
Yeah, that really helped.
A similar incident occurred in the Philippines last year when a 39-year-old man severed his penis after stabbing his wife. I don't know what the connection is between those two.
Let's not do this, people.
In London recently, a Polish man dashed into a crowded restaurant on the Strand, grabbed a knife from the kitchen, jumped up on a table, and sliced off his own penis in full view of all the patrons.
Oh, my God.
Well, we don't know what's going on with our little friend in San Francisco. They say his motivation is unclear at this point. He's undergoing psychological evaluation. It also says authorities located the severed organ in question, and doctors are working to reattach it. But, man, if you're 20, you're giving up a lot of good years if you're going to cut off your penis, right?
I don't know that you've had or are going to have any good years if you're that insane.
No, that's true. Maybe so.
Oh, my God.
So whatever's going on in your life today, kids, I don't want you to feel bad because you're not this dude.
That's ugly.
That's no good.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Amin Show, shall we? Remember Paula Abdul's? That's a good question.
And well asked.
On today's show, we have LaQuisha talking about keeping up with the Kardashians.
Good.
God bless her.
I walked into the room where my wife was watching that show, and I looked at it for 1 second. I was like, nope. LaQuisha will tell us. I don't have to watch it.
Exactly.
Internet Roundup today. Got a brand new one for you. Mm-hmm. We're going to talk about the Manny Pacquiao fight over the weekend. I don't know if you saw or heard anything about that, but...
Boxing RIP is all I know.
Good times.
The day the sport died is all I know.
Is that what they're saying?
Oh, my God. The outrage. I've never seen anything like it. Ah. I didn't see the fight, of course, but it seemed like, just based online, that 100% of the people thought he won, and the judges gave the decision to Bradley, and Pacquiao lost. And people were like, what?
Where's the outrage there?
Exactly. Crazy.
We also have Colin Hanks talking about the Kings.
Okay.
Yes.
We're coming back for Game 6 tonight.
Damn.
Which you can spin that into a good thing.
Sure.
You'd rather win it at home.
Absolutely. But, you know, you have no guarantees, so that's what makes you a little nervous. There's never a guarantee that you can beat any team any given night. We also have Harvey Levin from TMZ.com.
Mm-hmm.
And we have Chantel Sutherland, who is, I'm not kidding now, a horse jockey. A jockey.
No kidding.
She rides horses. Yes.
That's pretty rare, right?
Now, you say, Kevin Bean, why would you have a horse jockey on the show? She's really hot, is the answer to that.
She can be a trash man, and we have her on.
She's pretty attractive.
She sure is.
And that's
good. What a weird career, by the way.
Yes.
What a strange thing to go into, being a jockey.
Yeah, it is bizarre. She must have been around it when she was a kid, you know?
But still.
She also she posed for, I think it was Vanity Fair, in a nude photo on top of a horse.
Mm-hmm.
So that's weird.
Yeah, I got arrested for having photos just like that one time.
I'm sure you did.
How she got away with this.
So we got her on the program today as well. We'll take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That's next.
I'm bummed out that those guys broke up. I like that band Jet so much.
We'll work on that.
I'm alone.
See if you can
apparently
talk him into it.
Hey, there's a brand new K-Rock sticker, believe it or not. You can pick it up at any Southern California Del Taco restaurant. Stick it on your car, and you could win a 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid and a 2012 Honda motorcycle, plus tickets to the Honda Civic Tour with Linkin Park and Incubus. That's what we're giving away all this week here on K-Rock. Details at K-Rock.com. Hi, Ralph. How was your weekend?
Oh, better than anything.
Really?
No.
Okay.
It was good. It was a good weekend, though. Psycho Mike was my partner up at Hollywood Babylon over the weekend, and Chip came out to see us with her boyfriend, and we had a great time at the show. Boy, he was funny, and we had a blast, and a lot of Kevin and Bean listeners came out to see us on Saturday night, so thanks to everybody who came out. We had a good time. Mike was very, very funny.
And, is this a podcast I should be downloading? I don't have time to listen to them all, but is this one I should go for?
No, we're good without you. We're fine.
What about everybody
else?
We'll
carry on. We'll carry on and stay calm. yeah, sure. Everyone else should download it immediately because I think it's very funny. But, yeah, I really appreciate Mike coming out to help me out. He was very funny Saturday night. And he debuts his new projects today. Let me give everyone a heads up. He is one of the correspondents on the new Bethany Frankel talk show.
Oh, Bethany Frankel.
That debuts on Fox.
She does good work.
Today.
Isn't she a real housewife?
She is. She's one of the real housewives of Beverly Hills.
What's Mike doing getting involved in that?
Or something. He's just a correspondent, funny guy.
All right.
Okay.
He's a part of her show. Kevin Nealon and D.L. Hughley are the other guests on her show. It debuts today on Fox. I don't know exactly what time, but you can check your local listings and see Mike. And then, of course, later in the week, he's on The Choice. So a lot of Mike Catherwood on television this week.
Okay, good. Or not.
No one likes Mike anymore?
What's
am I the
deal?
Only one?
We like Mike.
I don't seem very enthused about his projects.
I've not heard about the daytime talk show. I don't even know who that is, but...
You know. You'd know if you saw her.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
And my thought was just, the more TV he gets, the less he's going to come back and take his old job back, which is what we're all hoping for.
Yeah, you need to give that up, I believe.
It is Monday, so let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted. came in at number one over the weekend. $60 million.
Wow.
For this little piece of animated tomfoolery. Did very well for itself. Prometheus was number two at the box office with $50 million. Big weekend at the box office.
No kidding.
Snow White and the Huntsman came in at third, $23 million. Men in Black 3 and the Avengers rounded out the top five. Then the Best Exotic Marigold Hotel, which is doing very, very well for an independent film. It's hanging in there very strongly week after week. What to expect when you're expecting Battleship, The Dictator, and Moonrise Kingdom rounding out the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Speaking of Snow White and the Huntsman, how about a sequel?
Already?
Yeah. Deadline.com is reporting that the actors in the film have already been lined up for two sequels. When they signed up, the option was for three films.
Oh, I see.
And there's a possibility of a follow-up to the film, which has pulled in just shy of $100 million in 2 weeks. So Universal very excited about getting everybody back together again. This time, the dwarves are pissed. Snow White 2. And Matthew McConaughey finally made an honest woman of his girlfriend, Camilla Alves, over the weekend. They got married in Texas. Apparently it was a very hush-hush affair, and all the guests were allowed to stay at Matthew's Texas estate. That's where they had the wedding.
Which is really just a trailer, right?
No, I believe he has quite a piece of property there in the Lone Star State. But he does travel around in his trailer quite a bit these days. The two of them hooked up in 2006. I didn't know they had been together that long, but they do have two kids, a three-year-old son named Levi and a two-year-old daughter named Vita. So they were there to see mom and dad get married, which is nice. You know, whatever order you want to do it in, I suppose.
Sure.
Did you hear about Lindsay Lohan's accident?
Oh, my God.
Did not.
Yeah. She smashed her Porsche into an 18-wheeler.
Wow.
Over the weekend.
18-wheelers win.
Yeah, they did. In this particular case, she just totaled the Porsche. She had to go to the hospital, but she was okay. Some minor scratches and bruises. Left the hospital to go back to work on Liz and Dick. The story from her camp is that the 18-wheeler cut her off. Well, you know how quickly they can just zoom over and switch lanes on you.
It's like they jump.
The guy driving the 18-wheeler says that no, that's not the case at all. She just came up my butt and smashed into me.
Easy.
And then he says her camp tried to offer him cash to keep it quiet.
Really?
Tried to bribe him to keep the press and the police out of it. But by then he had already dialed 911 because he says there was another car behind her with her entourage that picked her up after the accident and sped off. So he thought it was a hit and run. So he'd already called 911 by the time that was over. So
she's a disaster, Ralph.
She's got special needs.
She's lucky she and or her assistant weren't killed in this thing.
Yeah, when you see the photos of the Porsche, it was just mangled.
Oh, man.
She totally, is claiming, by the way, that the brakes failed.
Oh, that too?
The newly replaced brakes, by the way, on the rental Porsche that she was driving. She claims that they failed. Yeah, everything went wrong.
At the same time that the truck was cutting her off?
Yes.
Oh.
Then there was a downpour of frogs, apparently.
Really?
Wow. Some locusts.
Liar!
An earthquake.
So it wasn't her fault, though. That's the important thing, right?
No, that's what we have to take away from all this.
Well, we hope there's internal bleeding, at least.
How dare you, sir. Did you see the naked pictures of Snooki on the internet this weekend?
I saw there were some. I didn't try to track them down.
I have yet to see them myself.
Yeah,
it's the only time I've ever
seen
this in a story where I haven't immediately tried to find the story.
Really have much interest
look
in
for
that.
The photos. Her publicist released a statement Friday confirming that the photos of Snooki are indeed her. But she says, these are clearly old and personal photos and were not meant for the public. It's a shame someone decided to leak them now for obvious personal gain. Meanwhile, in more Jersey Shore news, Dina got arrested over the weekend for dancing drunkenly in traffic.
No way.
Yeah.
One of the Jersey Shore cast?
Why couldn't she be hit instead of arrested? And Jenny J-Wow got into an humongous bar fight over the weekend. And she got pretty roughed up, apparently. She got into a fight, and Paulie knocked out some guy, and Ronnie and the situation, they were fighting as well. So.
And here you were worried about season six, Ralph. Sounds
here
like
we
you're
are.
Gonna be fine.
Business as usual, and all the cameras, of course, were there to record it all. So we got it all. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Actor Gene Wilder, Willy Wonka, 79 years old today. A couple of my favorite actors. Actually, everybody on this list I like.
Wow.
Hugh Laurie from House. Mm-hmm. Wow. Celebrates his 53rd birthday today. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is 43. Joshua Jackson from Fringe, and of course Dawson's Creek. He's 34 years old, and Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 26th birthday today. Good batch of fellas. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Do you think the guys that travel with the Stanley Cup are getting a little bit tired of getting on a plane at this point? Do you think they're like, look, can someone get back to us when it's time, when we can give, when we can present the cup to somebody and be done for the season?
They are crisscrossing the country with every game. They have to go to Los Angeles, then they have to go to New Jersey, then they have to bring it back to Los Angeles tonight. It's game six. The Kings were up 3-0. Now it's 3-2. And I just put up a photo gallery of stuff that I took pictures of at the home games at krock.com or kevinandbean.com, including some of the celebrities and
mostly the chicks, though, right?
Well, the ice girls do seem to skate in front of the players. They're pretty rude about it, actually.
Look, I know that Kings fans just want the thing to be over and not not get blown. I just know that they want the cup to be won.
Right.
All right, I get all that. But the one advantage to more games is more post-game press conferences with Coach Sutter, who is really becoming a hilarious figure in the world of sports.
He's so bizarre. This is a guy who took over, those of you that don't follow hockey, we had to fire the coach mid-season. Mm-hmm. So they brought him in mid-season. And you couldn't really
get. And he's got a long, illustrious career coaching for a bunch of other teams, the Blackhawks and San Jose, for a long time, right? So he's a good coach.
Yes, but most of the time you can get a feel for what the coach is like, you know, by hearing him talk. Well, Daryl Sutter is the worst interviewee, or best, depending on how you look at it, ever. I mean, he gives one-word answers.
Mm-hmm.
He hates it. He clearly hates having to do the press conferences, but he's required to. There's nothing but sarcasm dripping off of every single answer. He basically wants to say, you're stupid, and that's a stupid question to every single reporter who asks him something.
Yeah, and he doesn't hide it well. You can pretty much tell that that's the case, that he's not having fun. He's perfectly happy to sit there with awkward silence. He's perfectly happy to let that go on forever. He'll just say a word and then just sit there in silence. And I feel like if I was a reporter, I would want to get up and walk out.
Well, here's one clip that I have. And this was after game four, where the Kings at home did not close it out to win the Stanley Cup. And a reporter, you know, asked him some questions about that. And listen to how disgusted he is by even the question.
Game four has always, in this playoffs, been somewhat of a problem for you guys. You're 3-3 now, and you can close out a series.
Awesome. Man. Close out a series game four.
So he's already laughing at the reporter. Now he's going to expand on that.
Stanley Cup finals, friggin' game's the very same as the first two games.
Basically saying, you're an idiot for asking that question. The reporter's just sitting there. He's just sitting there, just staring at him across the table. Eventually he just decides he's going to quit.
That's good.
Oh, that's good. And he gets up and he walks
up and walks away.
Oh my God.
So we might get to see him. Maybe he'll crack a smile. Maybe he'll actually happy if the Kings win tonight.
I don't think he's ever lost that look on his face, which is that he's angry.
Yep.
He does have that
nonstop, I'm miserable and I'd rather be anywhere else but here. But believe it or not, even though it's game day, Coach Daryl Sutter joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hey, Coach.
Hey, how you guys doing?
We're good, thanks. How are you?
Fine.
Great.
Thanks so much for joining us today. Very excited to have you back in town, get a chance to win the cup in front of the home fans. That'd be awesome, right?
Win the cup, yeah.
What?
Yeah, win the cup, yeah.
Well, I mean...
Right, that's what you're trying to do.
The team is up 3-2 still, so if you win tonight, it's the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I freaking understand that.
Okay, all right.
What's the difference going to be between Game 4 and Game 6, both games being played at Staples Center? I think the nerves are shaken off a little bit now?
What's going to be the difference between the two games?
Right.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, great. Great question.
Well, I mean, you could have closed it out last time when you played at home, and you didn't, so
close
I'm just wondering
out.
If...
Game 4, close it out.
Right.
Right.
Yeah.
Have you changed strategy? Are you changing any of the lines up? What are you doing?
What are you doing?
We're talking to you.
Yeah.
Okay.
What are you doing?
We're just watching the games, really. There's nothing more we can do, but you kind of have the kind of job where you can make decisions that might change what happens on the ice.
Yeah. Okay.
I find it funny that you have the reputation of being a yeller. In the locker room, of being
find that funny.
Hardcore. Well, you don't come across as hardcore when you're talked to by the media ever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is that the case?
Well, yeah.
Okay.
Well, listen, Coach. Good luck tonight. I hope you have fun. I hope you win.
Good luck. Yeah. Okay.
What's wrong with saying that?
No. because it's all about luck. Stanley Cup Finals.
Well, yeah. I mean, you're trying to beat luck. A great. You're trying
no,
to beat another very, very
no,
good
right.
team.
No, you're a freaking hockey genius. It's
no,
it's
that's not what luck. I meant. I don't mean that.
The
just...
luckiest team win. That's what they say in the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, I just.
Okay, why don't you go kill yourself?
I hope it goes your way. Is all I'm saying.
Die.
I'm with you, Coach.
All right,
thanks.
Got a huge 7 o'clock hour coming up for you this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show for a Monday. LaQuisha recaps last night's Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Ooh, I bet they bought stuff, and I bet they laid out.
And I bet they did nothing else.
I bet
they got paid for showing up and doing nothing. Also, a brand new internet roundup, and we'll talk to our old friend Cousin Sal, who is one of the millions outraged by the decision against Manny Pacquiao on Saturday night. Apparently, somebody's going to burn this place down if there's not some sort of justice. So we'll discuss that on the way. Rob's got the showbiz beat coming up. First, though, the Kevin and Bean Afro line is on the air for you like we do at 323-520-AFRO. That's our voicemail. You call, leave a message, then we play it back on the radio.
Bean, you missed the crazy woman?
Oh,
she's
yeah.
back? Crazy woman back. Here you go.
Michelangelo, meet Matt.
What are we supposed to do with that?
I don't know, but it seemed important to her.
Mm-hmm, okay. Mm-hmm.
So we'll just help get out the word.
Hey, Kevin, go devil.
I'm sorry, you got cut off, sir. Thank you for calling.
It sounded like he was saying go devils
no,
is what I heard.
I couldn't tell because the guy disconnected.
Huh. So oh, really? Okay.
I don't know what that was.
God damn you, Kevin. You jinxed us. We were all the way ready for the cup, and then the devils win. It's all your goddamn fault.
You and your freaking sweep.
Here's the thing. Bean thought it would be funny. How long ago? 2 weeks? Has this been going on for 2 weeks?
At least.
Bean thought it would be funny to tell everybody that I predicted a sweep because sports fans are superstitious and they think you can jinx it by saying things. And he knew that everybody would be outraged by my behavior. When in reality, I never really did it. But that's the funny part because Bean said I did.
Mm-hmm. See, that's what I would start saying now, too, if I had jinxed
sure.
my team.
Stanley Cup Finals, Stanley Cup Finals, Stanley Cup Finals. Kings failing is going to happen.
How dare you.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin.
And now it's all on you.
Now it's all on me. Thanks. Appreciate it, Bean.
It feels so good. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive and a Devils fan.
Oh, you got cut off. I'm
oh
sorry.
My God.
How about, come on.
What's happening?
Don't make fun of our friend Colin Haig.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
We're going to talk to Colin later on today. Now, do you remember, is he able to go
yes.
tonight? Now that it's back in Los Angeles, he can be there in person tonight.
He said, like he's all tough, I'm going to take care of business.
Right.
When we asked him if he was going to be here. So I'm guessing he will be there tonight, yes.
God damn it, Kevin. You had to say they were going to sweep, huh? You just had to blow it. Thanks a lot, douche.
Think he'd know better, wouldn't you?
I didn't.
I would. I was disappointed, actually, that Kevin went out.
Didn't like that. Say that at all.
God damn it, Kevin. Why do you want to tell everyone that they're going to sweep? You stupid, stupid son of a bitch.
I didn't.
Oh, my God.
I didn't say that.
It's worth all that's on the Afro line.
It's working perfectly, Bean.
This loss is on you, Kevin. This is all your fault for predicting a sweep, you son of a bitch.
Absolutely correct, sir.
This is basically all we're getting. And I didn't do it!
Hey, Ralph. Spoiler alert. You're an asshole.
Oh, wow.
I think
that's a little bit of revenge for you, Lisa.
I think a spoiler alert, though, is supposed to be for something that people may not know.
Yes.
Oh, right. That's
true.
Right. Yeah.
So.
Kevin Bean, I don't ask much of you guys. I don't even expect you to be funny. But I can't handle beer mugging that flex belt. Do me a favor. Get the flex belt and choke the shit out of that fat bastard. I'm getting tired of it. Give me 10 minutes in a room with him. I'll fix the problem.
Oh, I like it. That guy only needs 10 minutes in a room.
I assume if Beer Mug is advertising it, that it's a wonderful quality product and you should buy it, as you should the products from all of our advertisers here on K-Rock. But
liar!
It doesn't seem like it would be that difficult for him to hang himself with it, right?
He could turn it on if he wants, but hang himself by it.
Sure.
Yeah. Crazy woman, back.
Could you please inform Dr. Cohen that you already broadcasted that he provides the propofol? I guess he missed it.
I don't know how.
I don't either.
Huh.
She crazy. This dude loves the way we work.
I listen to when you guys do interviews, and when you guys need to take a break, someone will say,
hey, we need to take a break. And then the other person will jump in and go, no, come on. I want to ask him another question. You're acting as if you're not going to talk to the person again. You're coming back from break. You will talk to that person and ask them more questions. Stop it. You sound annoying, all of you. God.
We're not good. Obviously, that's. But I think at least sometimes when I do it, it's because I have a train of thought going, and it's going to be the last question in a series of questions on the same topic, and I don't want to start up again after we come back.
I support the listener.
Okay,
totally. I do too.
I think you're probably right.
The listener's right as well.
What's up, guys? Over here at SeaWorld, just got off the New World, Explore the World, Ray, Rub the Rush. Oh, it's great.
What?
I hope he ride the rays.
That's a moment with Lisa May where she tried to read a commercial for that particular client, and she didn't exactly nail it.
Sell it?
No, not exactly.
And now, a moment with Lisa May.
Explore the amazing world of Ray in this immersion new mega attraction, Manta. Ride the Ray, feel the rush.
Well said.
That was a moment with Lisa May.
You're welcome.
323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day.
Ralph Garman is here. Time for yet another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Monday Kevin and Bean Show. What's going on?
Before I get to Showbiz News, I want to give away some passes to a very special K-Rock advance screening of a movie that is near and dear to my own heart. It is called Ted.
Yes.
Yay! Movies in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 29th. However, K-Rock will be having a very special advance screening at the AMC Burbank on Tuesday, June the 26th. So you will get to see the movie before anybody else, and I'm going to be there. I will host the screening. I will come by, and I will tuck you in, and I will prop your feet up, and I will turn on the projector and feed you popcorn and make sure
you're
that
you're going to go row to row going, look, that's me. Look, sure. Look at me. I'm in the movie. Look, it's me. Guys,
sure
you recognize me?
Enjoy the film Ted, because it's a great film. I really enjoyed it. If you'd like to go, 1-800-520-1067 is the number to call. First two callers right now who get through at that number will get a pair of passes to see Seth MacFarlane's movie, Ted. The man who brought you Family Guy now brings you the rudest little stuffed animal you've ever met in your life. He is one foul-mouthed teddy bear. I'll give you that much. But great movie. Very fun.
Can't wait.
You'll enjoy it. Selena Gomez says she's the luckiest girl in the whole world because Justin Bieber's her man.
Ugh.
He's a hopeless romantic,
ugh,
she tells Elle magazine. And she was totally surprised, she claims, when he took her to the Staples Center and he had rented it out to show Titanic on a bad screen.
Yeah.
In front of a venue that is not meant for watching movies.
She's lying.
It was the most romantic thing ever, she says. It's not. It's total BS.
Yep.
It's not romantic just because it's expensive. It's not good just because it costs a lot of money around the Staples Center. She said that she had mentioned she wanted to see the movie again, so that's why he rented it out and showed it to her.
Yeah.
But it's not a win just because it costs a lot of money. It's a bad place. It'd be an uncomfortable place to go see a movie. If I didn't craning your neck up and looking at that screen for 2-3 hours to watch that movie in those seats, it's not a comfort. There's a lot better places to go see a movie.
I'd rent out an IMAX theater.
Exactly.
If you're going to do that.
Have it catered, a little candlelight dinner. There's a lot better ways to go. We're not impressed just because you rented out the Staples Center.
Oh, what a douchebag that
guy
is.
Oh, cartoon death.
I agree.
So much cartoon death. He should have the skin stripped off his bones by skunks.
Did they do that?
French skunks speaking in an accent should strip the skin off his bones. And then just see his walking skeleton around, looking around, going, them bones, dry bones. And then he collapses to the ground and dies.
I like it. It'd
be the best cartoon death. While we're talking about movies, let's take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. It is Monday. We like to do that on Monday mornings. Congratulations to Madagascar 3, Europe's Most Wanted, in its debut, $60 million.
Did that shock anybody else?
Yes, I was
crazy,
completely
Dave.
Surprised that it did that well. I knew the other films were popular, but I had no idea $60 million worth. Prometheus, which many predicted would be the number one movie at the box office, also did very well for itself, $50 million in its debut weekend. Snow White and the Huntsman was third, Men in Black 3, and then The Avengers. Those are the top five. The Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. What to Expect When You're Expecting, Battleship, The Dictator, and Moonrise Kingdom are the rest of the top 10. Tom Cruise
is great.
Talk about people who go overboard.
Yeah.
Most of us, when we overdo it physically and we get some sore muscles and aches and pains, you know, you grab the icy hot or whatever it is you need to do, and you soak yourself in a tub, and you move on.
And you live with it, yeah.
Simon Pegg said in an interview this week that while he was working with Tom Cruise on Mission Impossible Ghost Protocol, he said he found out that, you know, Tom does all his own stunts. He will be very, very vocal about that if you ask him. And he gets these sore muscles because he works so hard when he's doing all these stunts. So Tom Cruise has a special ice suit that he had made.
And a suit of ice?
Yes.
What?
It's like apparently a plastic suit with water or some sort of gelatin or something inside that you freeze, and then he puts the suit on so that his muscles can be soothed by the cold.
Because he's sore all over.
Because he's sore all over. And he can't just get into an ice tub or put an ice pack on. He has to put on his special ice suit because he's Tom Cruise.
That's too much money guy, right?
He's a guy
who has to go overboard for everything. Like, everything has to be just a little bit more extreme.
Make me a suit.
Because I'm me.
Make it out of human skin.
Do you want just an ice pack, Tom? No, I want a suit made of ice that I can wear, and it's the ice suit. And then I'll walk around in the ice suit, and I'll be completely chilled, and my muscles will be soothed. Then I'll lay down, but not on any bed. I want a dust bed. I want a bed made completely of dust from the Gobi Desert. You just put it in a big bag, and I will lay on it because I'm Tom Cruise. Yeah.
I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay. Go see my new movie. I'm in love with Katie Holmes. I'm not gay.
Yeah, that's right. Did you guys check out the Tony Awards last night?
No.
I recorded it.
Very entertaining program.
Was it?
Yes. I was flipping around.
Was it about plays?
And I ran across it. I was like, the Tonys. I wonder. I'll just watch one more award, see if I recognize anybody. And it was very entertaining. It was very well done, just as a TV show.
I was tempted to tune in just because our friend David Alan Greer was up for a big Tony Award for his Porgy and Bess performance.
He was. Plus
we love Dag. I don't think he won, but
he didn't. Neil Patrick Harris was the host again this year. Opened the show with "Welcome to the 66th Annual Tony Awards," or as we like to call it, 50 Shades of Gay.
That's great.
And it just went on from there. A lot of self-referential humor, and they didn't take themselves very seriously, and it was actually very entertaining. So I enjoyed that and watched a little piece of that. The big winners were Death of a Salesman. Kevin, one of your favorite plays?
Yeah, it was good.
Hugh Jackman got a special award for coming out of the closet. No, I'm kidding. He's very straight. His wife gave him the award, actually. So it was a fun event last night. Horror fans may be happy to hear that Stephen King's 1986 book, It, is being made into a major motion picture. It had been a TV movie before, but now they're going to bring it to the big screen. For people who don't like clowns, this is your worst nightmare.
Yeah,
it features Pennywise the Clown, if you remember that book at all, the most frightening clown in the history of fiction. So that's going to be on the big screen. And Lady Gaga, while we're talking about clowns, had some troubles in Auckland, New Zealand yesterday. Apparently she was performing her concert there when she got conked on the head by a pole.
I was going to clarify, please.
She was dancing. She was in the middle of her song, Judas, when one of her dancers accidentally hit her with a giant piece of scenery.
Oh, man.
The pole popped her right in the head. And really hard, too. And she staggered around the stage saying she thought she may have a concussion. But she finished the show anyway, which she did. So, congratulations, Gaga. She
probably used to get hit.
Then she put on a suit of ice to make up for her soreness. She's got an ice suit. What a pretentious douchebag.
Why can't Tom Cruise just get the spaceship to take him to the moon or something where there's, you know, low gravity?
He could just Tom Cruise there. Has like a slide in his house that he gets in a special room and it drops him off into his garage. I mean, yeah. I think he thinks that he's a secret agent.
He's buying into his own press.
Yes.
Yeah, I hear you.
Today's celebrity birthday is actor Gene Wilder. How great was he as Willy Wonka, of course, many years ago. And his whole life has been giving great performances.
I didn't know he was still alive, by the way. I have to be honest.
I actually had to ask Dave this morning. I said, is Gene Wilder still alive? Can you check?
I really thought he died.
I said, I thought he passed. No, no. I looked it up. He's still alive. So
then you double-checked it with someone else?
No, I didn't. I took his word for it. So I may in fact be wrong. He's 79 years old today. Hugh Laurie from House is 53. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones turns 43. Excuse me, Thrones is 43. Yes. Joshua Jackson from Fringe and Dawson's Creek is 34. And Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 26th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
How about keeping up with the Kardashians on Sunday night? We say no to that. Lucretia says yes. She'll review it for us later on this hour and a brand new internet roundup. It was ridiculous. I'm pretty much a professional athlete, as you know, Kevin. I'm in the best physical shape of my life. But I was exhausted on Saturday, flipping around between Dodgers, Mariners, and then the Stanley Cup playoff game was on. And then after that, I caught the end of the NBA Eastern Conference Finals. And then the Pacquiao fight was after that. That's really just too much entertainment on in sports for one night, right?
I didn't buy the Pacquiao fight because I think the boxing, which is more expensive than UFC, become not such a good purchase. But from people who watched it, outrageous.
You missed one of the most controversial decisions maybe in the history of boxing. I read on one website that 48 out of 51 members of the boxing media disagreed with the decision. Manny Pacquiao was handed his first defeat in 7 years. It was a split decision. He lost to Timothy Bradley. And I think it was our friend Brad Williams who tweeted how far we've come with racial stereotypes in this country that we're shocked that a black guy can beat an Asian guy at boxing. But I know Cousin Sal had something to say about this on his Twitter feed over the weekend, and he joins us now on the Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. Hey, Sal, how are you, man?
Fellas, this was the worst screw job ever.
Now,
ever.
When you
really,
when you talk about bad, rulings in boxing, there's some pretty stiff competition. I mean, it's been a pretty corrupt sport.
Yes, it's pretty bad. There's been Trinidad De La Hoya. I remember Larry Holmes and Michael Spinks. But you know what? Those were like 7 rounds to 5. And, you know, if you had your guy up 7-5 and he was on the other end of the decision.
Right.
Wow, that's lame. This, I got to say, when I watched the fight Saturday, I said, this is 10 rounds to 2. And I'm going to give Bradley 2 because I feel bad for him. And then I rewatched it yesterday after I calmed down and added up how much I had lost on the fight. I'll throw that in. Well, listen, I've lost a million bets, but this just sucked the heart out of me because I watched yesterday and the most you could give Bradley was 4 rounds. I mean, that's if you gave him rounds that where he landed 8 or 9 punches. And so, yeah, this is bad.
So it was overwhelmingly dominated by Pacquiao, and everybody thought Pacquiao was going to win, and then they made the announcement. What happened in the ring and what happened in the crowd when they made the announcement?
Well, the crowd went crazy. They were beside themselves. And you know what it is? The guy who gets screwed never shows enough emotion or his trainer as you'd want, you know? And maybe it's part of him being exhausted and everything. And then you think, oh, maybe it's because he's going to make $50 million in November on this rematch where he wouldn't have made it. So then you start doing the math, and it's like, oh, God, this is terrible. How many people are in on this? And I really do feel like I know there are bad decisions, but I think these guys are paid off. And I'm not much for conspiracy theories in sports. I'm really not. These guys were definitely paid off.
Let me read this to you, Sal. This was with Ring TV. This is an interview that Tim Bradley did with them the day after, okay? And here's his quote. I won the fight without a doubt. You could say I won the first round, give or take the second, lost the third, lost the fourth, lost the fifth, maybe even lost the sixth, you know, give or take. But from 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, and 12, I clearly dominated those rounds. I dominated those rounds. I know that I won those rounds.
Well, I'll tell you this. Two judges in rounds 7 and 8, like I said, he landed 9 punches. To Pacquiao's like 27 and 25. And I know it's not about punches landed. It's power punches with Pacquiao definitely dominated. It could be worse for wear, which, you know, Bradley was a mess compared to Pacquiao. Any way you look at it, Pacquiao won this fight. But to say that he won the last 6, it varies wildly with what he said immediately after the fight, which was, I don't know if I won. I'm going to have to review the tape. Whoever says that? What boxer ever says, I have to review the tape? They're all like, I kicked his ass. The judges made the right call.
That's true.
Sour grapes, blah, blah, blah. And to throw on top of that, he knew the rematch date ahead of time. He's like, well, let's do it again November 10th. Like, professional wrestlers don't have the rematch date at the ready.
Wait. He knew immediately after the fight what the date was for the rematch?
Take a look at it. At least that part will be online. He had November 10th. He's like, let's do it again November 10th. Like, you got to be kidding me.
So you think it's a complete setup. Bob Arum was the promoter, right?
And yeah, Bob Arum is as big a crook as Don King.
Okay, so here he is after the fight being outraged by the judge's decision as well.
This is totally different. This is a fight that people, respected people, scored at 11-1, 10-2.
It was, everybody was talking. Bradley was trying hard, but it was a mismatch. And then to hear scores like we heard tonight, it just, not, it's unfathomable. Unfathomable. You look at the punch stats, you look at, you know, with your own eyes, what you saw. I mean, these people don't know how to score. And they really don't.
And you think he's behind that?
Yes, yes. It's all a circus. He's in on it, too, because the more he can make people think that Pacquiao got screwed by a faulty decision and not the rest, the judges being paid, the more he'll get, more eyes he'll get for the rematch on pay-per-view.
Can, but Cousin Sal, can you blatantly fix a boxing match and not have some sort of investigation from the government? I mean, it would be illegal for them to do that, right?
I think it's just, and by the way, if I had placed this bet legally, and I urge anyone to, class action this up. Go after this, because this is right there.
That's a good idea.
But I really think the judges, they said, hey, as long as this Bradley guy stays on his feet, give him the close rounds, give him the match, we want the rematch. And I think it went as far as that. I really do.
Wow. That's what's your comment on something that Kevin kind of hinted at when we brought you on, Sal, and that is that boxing has lost a lot of luster. You don't get as much bang for your buck. You don't get as much for your money as you do with a UFC fight, and maybe this is an attempt to kind of get it back into the headlines. Could there be something to that?
Absolutely, but, I mean, don't you think it backfired? I know a lot of people I respect like that and who have tried to hang on to boxing as the purer sport or whatever said, you know what, I'm going to UFC now. And but you know what's sickening about this? I will buy the rematch.
Why will you do that?
I'll do it because it's part of sports history, and I'm an idiot and everything else. And you know, people say this affects the Mayweather match. I don't think it will. First of all, I don't think they were fighting in November, if at all. And so this set up some kind of anything for November for Pacquiao. And then if he beats the crap out of Bradley in the rematch, which he should, just as many people will be into Mayweather in March or whenever.
So you're saying that, A, it was completely fixed.
I do.
B, you're outraged.
Yeah.
C, you're going to buy the rematch.
I know.
What kind of an idiot are you?
Yeah.
He's got the abused wife syndrome is what he's got.
It's very bad. I know. We need football to come back, fellas.
All right. Listen, before we let you go, Cousin Sal, you're doing it again. Of course, ABC has the NBA Finals. They start tomorrow night, and you and your cousin Jimmy Kimmel are doing what in prime time this time around?
Yeah, we have, depending on where you are, on the East Coast or West Coast, it'll air before or after the game, and we have NBA specials, half hour on ABC, David Spade in Game 1, Tracy Morgan in Game 2, and lots of funny stuff coming up.
Fantastic.
That's great. And you can, of course, follow Cousin Sal on Twitter at TheCousinSal and read him at Grantland.com. See him weeknights just after midnight on Jimmy Kimmel Live. Thanks for the time, Sal. We enjoyed it.
All right, guys. Thanks. Thanks.
I can't believe I'm about to say these words, but ask a jockey next hour here on the Kevin Bean Show. We have a beautiful young lady coming in who has made over won purses of over $45 million as a professional horse racing jockey.
Let me ask you a question, Bean.
Yes.
Honestly, we would not have her on the show.
If she were not as hot as she is, that's
not
right.
Hot.
Of course.
Okay.
All right. I can answer
mean,
that question.
That doesn't mean but it won't still be fascinating to
correct.
Find out about what that life is like, right?
I don't care about what that life is like.
But really?
I do, not really, no.
I'm fascinated.
All right, good.
Your chance to ask a jockey coming up on the Kevin Bean Show. Also, LaQuisha recaps keeping up with the Kardashians. First, though, how about a brand new Kevin Bean Internet Roundup?
Click that mouse and open your browser. Plug your shirt and drop them trousers. We've got shots that need your viewing. Laugh so hard that you'll start spewing. Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
KevinBean.com or KROQ.com. You can see all of these videos. There are more than we are able to focus on here because some of them are visual, so we can't put them up. But this first one is The Wire, the musical. The Wire. Remember that TV show?
Yeah, awesome show.
The musical.
He's a bastard.
He's my partner.
Real police.
Absentee father.
I'm McNulty. Screwing Ronnie when I'm drunk, solving homicides with Bunk Jimmy McNulty.
You're a real piece of work, McNulty.
What the frick did I do?
What's awesome about this is all the original actors from The Wire are reprising their roles and playing themselves in the musical version, which is just, it just blows your mind that these guys aren't the guys you thought they were.
Yeah, and the original series is so serious and
so dark. Yeah.
Dark, and yeah, you totally wouldn't expect it. Boston's own mayor was in the press, and he was trying to talk about the Celtics, trying very difficult for him. KG is the nickname that he forgot, and Rondo is the name of the guy.
There's a lot of hot in this team. Let me just tell you, KJ is a great hat, but Hondo's really the inspiration. I mean, Hondo drives that team.
Yeah, so it's KJ and Hondo.
Oh,
that's so embarrassing for him, isn't it?
He's the mayor of Boston.
Yeah, this might be a good time to, I don't know, get your people to just kind of brief you on who's playing.
Hondo drives that team. Maybe Rajon Rondo is what you're talking about. 50 great guitar riffs from the 90s. This is pretty well done. Dude just keeps going and going and going. It's
one right after another. It's amazing. He'll do Nirvana, and then he'll do Collective Soul, then he'll do Metallica, and it's just, it's in one continuous cut, too. I mean, I don't know how he play. How many takes did that one take
yeah,
to
no
get
kidding.
Right, I wonder.
Being Boyfriend by Justin Bieber, is that a giant hit now?
Big top 10 song, yeah.
Yeah. If I was your boyfriend, never let you go. If I didn't sing like a woman. So there's a bunch of parodies, of course. If I was your gay friend.
I'd like to have more breed of friends. Hey, girl, let me talk to you. If I was your gay friend, I'd never borrow clothes. Tell you when you look hot, I'm gay, so I would know.
Very funny.
Really well done. And then this girl, you have to see the eyes of the delivery for this girl. The audio not quite as great, but this is the creepiest Justin Bieber fan, and you must watch.
If I was your girlfriend, I'd drive you up the wall. Question who you're with, yeah, I'd always call and call. I wouldn't call it jealousy, just looking out for you. Reading all your texts, watching everything you do. Nag, nag, nag.
She's very funny and very scary and probably will kill someone.
KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com for the Internet Roundup. This is Rom-Com for Life. This is a rap song about romantic comedies and how this guy loves them.
But all I want to do is watch a fun chick flick.
Put on SNL or a sketch by Robert Smigel.
Bitch, shut the up and let me put on Katherine Heigl. Oscar for Best Bod goes to her from the Academy. Underneath those dresses, nothing great about that anatomy.
I want to watch some action. Come on, this sucks.
I'll have a panic attack if I don't see Sandra Bullock.
Party Rock Anthem, of course, which has been, I don't know, in the top 10 for 15 years now.
Yes.
Seems like it. LMFAO, yeah.
Finally, somebody got around to playing it on bottles. They hold bottles and blow into the top of them. I'd like to suggest when we get to bottles, that's it.
We're
now,
done.
Right? That's the end. That's the caboose. Mm-hmm. Now that ship has sailed, let's move on. And Mr. Rogers Remixed is very, very funny and very well done using clips from the old Mr. Rogers TV show. He used to do a very creepy show for little kids.
How dare you? There was nothing creepy about it.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind. It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think, and they'll grow.
Think and they'll grow? Seriously.
It's very much like Mr. Rogers on acid watching that video, by the way.
Yes, it is. And it would help if you're high. We're not saying to get high. We're just saying it would help when you watch that video if you were. Go to KevinandBean.com or KROQ.com for a brand new Internet Roundup.
Kevin and Bean's Internet Roundup.
I believe that Keeping Up with the Kardashians is one of the most successful, most watched television shows in basic cable history. They have managed to do that without any of us watching it. However, our girlfriend LaQuisha does watch so that we don't have to, and she joins us on the phone on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, LaQuisha.
Screw you.
What? What now? You love dumb white people.
I told you I didn't want to watch no damn Jersey Shore no more.
Right.
Yeah.
And he
right.
said, okay, watch the Kardashians. I said, okay, finally, I'm relieved I don't have to watch the Jersey Shore
right.
anymore.
So you're welcome.
This is much worse than that.
What?
Really?
At least the Jersey Shore was a television show.
What's
I don't know what the hell this is. This last night's episode was almost entirely about Kris Jenner's relationship with tennis.
What?
Haven't you always wondered, how does Kris Jenner feel about tennis?
One of my best friends, Lisa Miles, has invited me and Liz to come over and play tennis. Tennis was always such a huge part of my life, and I haven't played in so long. I'm so excited to get on the court.
This is a television program.
Yeah, how does that make the final cut?
How
come you don't
cut? I'm not your therapist. I don't care what you feel about playing tennis. But apparently, tennis has a very important place in her heart.
When I was married to Robert Kardashian, one of the things that we did every single weekend was play tennis. And it brings back so many amazing memories to be able to get back on the court and kind of relive those old days.
She is talking about playing tennis.
She is,
on
yeah.
my television.
That is happening.
You don't understand. So she decides that the family has to stop playing tennis. So then, this television program, these cameras that actually they're filming her shopping for tennis clothing.
Oh, my God.
And she takes along her daughter, Kim, to buy some more tennis equipment.
I'm so excited to get the whole family back on the tennis court.
I think we need a can of balls because you always have to have fresh balls.
Ooh, that's like, yes.
I'm glad that your memory of balls is coming back to you. Honey, anytime there's balls involved, it's my kind of game. Woo! That's what I say.
See, they're talking about a lot of balls.
What's happening, LaQuisha? What's happening here?
I'm a whore. No, Mom, I'm a bigger whore.
Right.
I love balls. No, you're just my daughter. I'm the biggest ball lover in this family.
Wow.
Do they sell black balls here? No, Kim, I'm sorry, they don't. Just the green ones that everyone plays with.
That would have made it funnier.
The ball jokes ain't over, by the way.
Oh.
Mom, seriously, you don't hear yourself? What? What am I doing? Is that the kind of noise you make when balls are flying at your face? I'm just breathing. What do you mean?
See?
See what they're doing?
She
this is on
makes
TV.
A noise when she hits the ball. When she plays tennis, she makes a grunting noise.
LaQuisha,
that is the focus of this week's episode.
What we've heard so far, that's the outtakes of the show?
This is a television program.
Is this stuff that made the final cut?
The one moment that it was actually like some semblance of a story is that Bruce Jenner's got children with another woman or some other people or something. I don't know. They're going to clone them in a lab or something. I don't know. But one of them's named Brandon Jenner, and Brandon Jenner apparently is a musician. And Kris Jenner has started a new music management company with Kenny Babyface Edmonds.
Right.
By the way, what's Kenny Babyface Edmonds thinking? Getting in business with Kris Kardashian to make a management company?
That's a great question.
She's not a manager as much as she is a child pimp. So Bruce Jenner says, look, my son, he wants to get a music business. Maybe since now you're a music manager with Babyface, maybe you could take him on as a client. And this is what she has the balls to say.
I think that they're great, but sometimes to mix business and family might not be the perfect solution for that.
Our whole family on this side is a business.
On this
are
side?
Are you kidding?
My kids, I will help.
Oh.
But not your children, Bruce
Wow.
Jenner. That's when I said, finally, this is going to get good. No, it goes back to tennis now.
What?
Now Kim Kardashian decides to hold a family tennis tournament so everyone can hear how silly her mother sounds when she plays tennis.
The noise my mom makes, it sounds ridiculous. And I cannot wait for everyone to come and play tennis to hear how embarrassing my mom is.
She doesn't make that much noise in the bedroom, I guarantee you.
No,
we don't want to know.
Don't make me think about your old lesbian ass and Kris Jenner in bed together. I'd rather talk about tennis. Well, good thing for me, because Kris Jenner's playing with her children to play in tennis, and they make fun of the way she sounds when she plays it, so she walks off the court and throws her racket.
All right.
I'm not playing tennis no more.
This was supposed to be a really fun day.
But my kids just wanted to make fun of me.
When everyone else is laughing and having fun and you feel like you're, you know, the joke. I don't want to be the joke. I don't want to play tennis anymore. I'm done.
You're no longer the joke. Now you're just the baby who walked off the tennis court. Did I mention this whole episode was about tennis? Yeah, did I mention that to you?
When you said that, I thought certainly she's exaggerating.
Well, Kim Kardashian makes it up to her mom by buying her a designer Chanel tennis racket.
What?
She buys her a Chanel tennis racket, and so her mother forgives her and says, yes, I will play tennis again. And Brandon Jenner says, I don't want you to be my manager anyway. And she said, okay. The end.
Wow.
That was
what
last night's episode.
Show.
Now, is that a half hour?
It's about tennis and about her being the manager of a guy who doesn't want her as a manager, so nothing happens.
Wow.
That is an hour of television. God damn you to hell.
You're welcome.
Queens of the Stone Age, also M83 and the Chili Peppers all on the way, plus Ask a Jockey. Very excited about our next guest coming in. I just tweeted a photo of her, by the way, the beautiful Chantel Sutherland, naked on a horse. So if you want to check that out, you might want to do that now. Ralph is here now. Time for the Showbiz Beat. What's going on, Ralph?
She's a regular Lady Godiva.
She is.
It's what she is. Naked
Very
on a horse.
Very talented, though.
She sure can ride horses.
How do you know, Bean?
Because I've read up on her, and she's won 1,000 races. That's why.
Yeah.
Unbelievably competitive field.
Yeah, Kevin.
All right, take it easy.
I just am impressed by people who are excellent at something. That's all.
All right.
Time for the Showbiz Beat. Here's Ralph.
How would you like to go see Ted? It's Seth MacFarlane's new movie. It's happening on the 26th, June. Tuesday, June 26th at the AMC Burbank Theater. We're going to have a special advanced screening of Ted. This movie is funny. I've had a chance to see it. Starring Mark Wahlberg as a young man who, as a boy, made a wish that his only real friend, his teddy bear, would come to life and be his real best friend. And the Christmas miracle happens. And all's well and good until we flash forward about 30 years. And now he's just a loser smoking pot on the couch with his teddy bear watching Flash Gordon movies and reruns. So if you want to check it out, Mila Kunis also co-stars, Laura Vandervoort, Joel McHale's in it. I make a little brief appearance in it as well. I will be hosting the very special K-Rock Advance screening Tuesday, June the 26th at the AMC Burbank 16. First three callers right now who get through at our phone number will get a pair of passes to attend the very special screening of Ted, which opens in theaters everywhere on Friday, June the 29th. And I think it's going to be a big, big hit.
I hope.
We'll see. It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. Number one. Oh, those wacky animals from Madagascar. They can't get back to New York. They just
sure
can't
trying.
Do it. They're trying. This time they're in Europe. Made $60 million at the box office this weekend. That is a lot of kids.
Yes, it is.
Prometheus came in at number two. $50 million for that film. Snow White and the Huntsman, still doing very well for itself. $23 million puts it just shy of the $100 million mark in 2 weeks. Men in Black 3 was fourth. The Avengers came in at number five. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. What to Expect When You're Expecting, Battleship, The Dictator, and Moonrise Kingdom, rounding out the top ten at the box office this weekend. On Saturday night, I was lucky enough to have my buddy Psycho Mike Catherwood as my co-host for Hollywood Babylon up there at Universal. We had a great time, and I wanted to give a shout-out to his appearance today on Bethany Frankel's new talk show, which debuts on Fox in several markets today. I don't know what time it's on here in Los Angeles, but I know it will be
2 o'clock.
2 o'clock. There you go. And Mike will be one of her special guests, and he has a recurring feature on that show, so you can check that out. I recommend it because he's good. I have no personal experience with Bethany Frankel, but
yeah.
She was a real housewife of something or other. She was one of those cities.
Mm-hmm.
And she invented the skinny margarita, too. Wasn't that her?
I believe it
was. She started that business. Much, much money.
Yep.
What she has. Much money. Dina Cortez from Jersey Shore was busted over the weekend. Apparently, she got loaded. She was drinking. The Jersey Shore cast member, Dina, was drinking.
Wait a minute.
Yes, I know.
Aren't they notorious for...
I'll give you a chance to catch your breath. she was drinking, and then she walked out into traffic and started to dance. Someone tried to drive around her, but she wouldn't let him. She kept getting in the way of the car. The police finally stepped in and arrested her for disorderly conduct and took her to jail. So
that's funny.
At least we want to see that in the upcoming season. Jenny apparently also got into a humongous bar fight over the weekend.
That's hard to believe, too.
And much, much joy was had. And Lindsay Lohan, don't worry, folks, she's okay. She's back on the set of Liz and Dick. But she did get into an accident over the weekend. She smashed into an 18-wheeler, which pretty much totaled her rented Porsche, which now she claims that the brakes were faulty on.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Hmm.
Before, earlier in her story, it was the 18-wheeler cut her off. But now, apparently, the brakes failed on the Porsche, and that's why she plowed into the back of the 18-wheeler.
Is the brakes the kind of thing they can check after an accident?
Oh, yeah.
And say, no, it wasn't.
Unfortunately for her, the brakes on the rental had been newly replaced. So her argument carries even less weight.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to talk to Harvey next hour about this story. And you mentioned earlier, Ralph, that maybe they're trying to buy off. Lindsay's people are trying to buy off the truck driver.
That's what James claims.
Change the story about what really happened. But that could be potentially super bad news for her if that is uncovered to be true.
Apparently there was some drug deal gone bad. There was like a bag that they were trying to hide, and someone said to the truck driver, hey, don't mention that bag, man, that we heard carrying.
Really?
It gets very dark and twisted, so here we go.
Sweet.
And when porn star Kim Kardashian does something, she does it big. Star Magazine's got photos of, has a report that she had her picture projected onto Big Ben in London for the British launch of Quick Trim, her diet supplement that she sponsors. When they released it in England, apparently they projected her photo on the side of the Big Ben Bell Tower.
Really?
Which, of course, is one of the tourist highlights there in London. So she's all over the world. Kanye West had his birthday on Friday, by the way.
Yeah.
And his girlfriend, porn star Kim Kardashian, bought him a Lamborghini.
All right.
A Lamborghini. What do you think? What do you think the cost of a Lamborghini is running these days?
I don't know. 100 grand?
Yeah.
80 grand?
A little north of that. A little north of 100 grand.
150?
A little north of that.
No.
200?
A little north.
250?
A little north of that.
300?
A little north of that.
500?
A little north of that.
A million?
$750,000.
Holy cow!
Is what the car cost. Apparently it's a rare Aventador LP Lamborghini 700. They don't make many of those, and it's $750,000.
Wow. They have been dating 2 months, right?
They're very much in love.
It's about time you step up and buy that kind of gift for somebody you've been dating for eight weeks.
But then what do you do next year if you bought them a $750,000 car this year?
I guess you take them to play tennis with your mom, because they play a lot of tennis now, apparently, the Kardashians.
What's the point of
very
that?
Very into tennis.
What's the point of buying Kanye West that car? What's going on here?
Well, he look at me?
He can't afford that kind of car himself.
I think it's, hey, look at me. Hey, look at us.
Hey, look at us.
Yeah.
We buy expensive presents for each other.
Yeah.
I guess.
Shia LaBeouf celebrates his 26th birthday today. As we look at the celebrity birthdays, Joshua Jackson from one of my favorite TV shows, Fringe, turns 34. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is 43 years old. Hugh Laurie celebrates his 53rd birthday. And actor Gene Wilder, known for his many comic performances, perhaps best known still, though, as Willy Wonka, 79 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. And walk the showbiz beat.
Look, I know Kings fans are getting anxious. They're getting a little bit nervous. Being up 3-0 is a little better than being up 3-2. But at least after the games, Beer Mug is there to console the fans and to pump them up with high-energy interviews like this one after Game 4.
What happened with the Kings tonight?
$2,000 in the garbage. 27 years of love. And God, why you got to do me? Not even cool.
Thank you, sir.
Sir, I thank you. I'm getting the old school throwback 78 Kings skull, King's crown tattooed on my hand.
What are you doing that?
When we win.
I'm nervous about either of those guys surviving to the end of this playoff.
Here's what I know. I know that Colin Hanks, our correspondent for the Kings,
yes,
uh-huh,
went to game one, right, and then game two, and then game three. right?
Right.
Or at least was there for it. And then missed game 4 and 5.
Oh,
and
now, interesting. Interesting.
And now it's game 6, and we need that vibe back at Staples Center.
I've never felt so good in my life. It feels so good. It feels so good to be alive.
I think you're right. I think Colin Hanks is what the Kings have been missing. Game 6 tonight at Staples Center at 5. Mr. Hanks, how are you, sir?
You know, when I asked that to be like the soundbite you guys played,
yes.
I didn't think that I would be talking to you guys this month.
I know, I know. Well, we pressed you into service to be our Stanley Cup correspondent because you, I hope, are going to be the Kings' lucky charms. I mean,
Lucky Charms or Lucky Charms?
Well, he
lucky
said Charms.
Is a cereal. I don't want to be a cereal. I really don't want to be a cereal.
No, that's an important distinction. I think you're right.
It is an honor and a privilege to be the correspondent. And in all honesty, I was only at Game 3 of the Stanley Cup.
Oh, I see. Okay, so not one. Okay. You can't take credit for 1 and 2.
Yeah, but I believe last time we spoke, I was in New York, and I was not, and I flew back to Los Angeles, so I was not in New Jersey for the last game. Thank goodness.
Might have helped.
I did not like that game one bit.
No, that was not fun.
Yeah, what happened there, Colin? Tell me, take me through what you were thinking as you were watching the night unfold on Saturday.
Well, I was just sort of when I was watching it, it just sort of seemed like before the game even started, it sort of seemed nonplussed. There didn't really seem to be a lot of energy on the Kings' side. Obviously, going into New Jersey, they were pretty pumped up to be back home. They had a faint little glimmer there, thinking like, all right, well, you know, it's just one game at a time, and it's nice to be at home. And New Jersey definitely came out guns blazing, both the fans and the team itself. They really played hard. The craziest thing I noticed about that game were two things. A, five pucks go off the crossbar for the Kings.
Yeah.
That's very, very, very frustrating stuff. It is the goaltender's best friend. Every single time that happened, that was five times. The other big thing that was a shocker, and I was actually surprised that not more people said this, another puck goes off of Slava Voynov in the Stanley Cup final.
Isn't that crazy? Two times
in the back of the net. That's twice in one finals that a puck goes off one player. That's crazy.
Now, you can't blame him.
No, you can't blame him. That's just chance. That's just the way that it works. But from a poetry standpoint, that's pretty insane.
Yeah, yeah. For folks who don't recognize the name, he is a defenseman for the Kings, so his job is out there to stop New Jersey from scoring, and what's ended up happening is he has been assisting them in scoring. He has now scored 2 goals for the Devils.
2 different times they shoot the puck. It bounces off of him just completely by accident, and then, you know, goes right past Quick because it takes a different angle, and he's not ready for it. So
that's the thing with hockey, though. It really is a game of chances, you know, and it's a game of chances. It's a game of centimeters, and in those cases, you know, for the Devils, it worked out twice in their favor that it just so happened to go off Slava Voynov, and for the Kings, you know, it just so happened that the puck went up, you know, caromed off the off the post five times. It's heartbreak, but that's hockey, and that's what makes it
all right
exciting when it goes your way.
Let me ask you the question then. It hurt not to win Game 4, not because we think we're that good, but you don't want to give any glimmer of hope to the other team. And then it hurt when they won Game 5 for the same reason. Now they're coming in tonight. They've got a little hope. They know they can beat us.
They certainly have momentum.
They have some momentum. How do you close that down?
I don't know, but all I know is that the fact that I'm answering these questions so seriously, like I'm playing in the games.
Well, you are, aren't you? I promised to run on the ice if we win the cup. I would like you to make that same promise, Colin.
I will pull Shamu on the ice if that happens. I will run out on the ice, land on my belly with my arms up and my knees back.
Fantastic.
And I will, with my tongue out, I will do a Shamu. But with this game, I'm telling you right now, I mean, look, I think we said it the last time, to be up in the Stanley Cup Finals 3-2 going into your house with a chance to win the Stanley Cup in front of your fans, that is not a bad place to be in. That's a fantastic place to be in. And I think if you asked anybody if they would, you know, if they would like that, I think everyone would sign up for it in a heartbeat. So it's not, we're not in a bad position here. New Jersey has to win 2 games. LA Kings only have to win 1. And they can win 1 tonight at home. And that would be pretty special, you know, if that happens. So I think really now more than anything else, the Kings just need to reach down and do what they've been doing all season, which is just, you know, find a way to win. That's really all they have to do. They just have to find a way to win and do whatever they can to make sure that that happens. New Jersey has to win two.
Yep.
The Kings only have to win one.
He does make it, he says it so calmly that I almost believe it. It almost does give me a little bit of a Zen feeling when the way you say that, Colin, because you're right. It is as simple as that, but you can't stop your mind from thinking, oh, wait, what's going on now? We're not looking at bad kind of history being made, are we?
Well, no, I sort of feel like especially, with sports and especially with hockey, you really have to remain focused and football is another one of those sports where really your emotions, you know, you want to let your emotions run wild, and especially for players, that's very beneficial. But for hockey, I feel it's actually the absolute opposite, even though it's just as an intense sport, is that the more focused you are, the better player that you're going to be. I mean, if you even look like the Phoenix Coyotes, they let their emotions get the best of them
right.
at the worst possible time, and they lost. And the Kings play best when they're focused. Jonathan Quick is one of the most focused goaltenders I've ever seen. And it's because he is able to make all the right plays. He doesn't let the emotions get the best of him. And he does what is necessary. I think the last game, Quickie was getting a little bit more emotional than we've seen him in the past.
I agree. I was going to ask you about that. That fight, he looked like he was letting every bit of frustration from that whole game out when he started pounding that dude in the head from New Jersey.
Yeah, well,
that was sweet.
I think he was pissed off that he let that goal go through. I think that's very unlike Jonathan Quick. You know, normally he's not one to make a mistake like that. He's definitely not one to make a mistake like that in a big game. That made him very frustrated. So I think you just got to try and be as calm and relaxed as possible and play their game. And I think when the Kings do that, no one is better than the Kings when they do that, according to, you know, this playoff season. So I'm just trying to follow suit here
and try and be
calm and collected.
Having said that, you also understand, if you're a hockey fan and if you're not watching, this is the truth. All games except for one of them, where the Kings won 4-0, have been, you know, two overtime games, and the last game was right down to the wire. I mean, they've been so close when you talk about a game of inches or lucky bounces or whatever.
Well, you're a good team by the time you get to the Stanley Cup. Both teams are very, very, very good. All right, where's the after party going to be tonight in the event of a cup? What are you guys planning? Kevin, Colin, where are you guys going?
I'm just telling you now that I won't be here for a week. I don't know what to do with myself. I don't have plans, but
something's
going to
happen.
Plans. All right.
I have no plans. Don't plan.
So if you
make it as it comes. Make it up on the fly.
Yeah, and when it happens, just
call
wing
Hanks,
it, basically.
Call Hanks if you're looking for me.
If and when it happens, I'm not worrying about the post party. I'm worrying about the party, which would be at Staples Center. That's
agreed.
Where
exactly.
It would be.
All right, Colin Hanks, Stanley Cup correspondent here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Have a great time tonight. I'm going to be very disappointed if they don't win and if I don't see you and Kevin French kissing on the ice while you hold the cup up.
I said Shamu. That sounds French, but that is not. It's the name of a whale, okay?
That's true. That's a good point. Thank you.
We are back with a brand new K-Rock sticker, by the way. You can pick it up at any Southern California Del Taco location. Stick it on your car, and you could win not only the 2012 Honda Civic Hybrid, but the 2012 Honda Motorcycle and tickets to the Honda Civic Tour, which is Lincoln Park and Incubus. We have all the details at krock.com. I'm not going to suggest that Lindsay Lohan is lying, but we'll talk to Harvey Levin about all the various stories she came up with as to what caused the traffic accident on Friday that totaled her Porsche. That's on the way here on the Kevin and Bean Show. What's happening right now?
Well, it would be the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
Nice.
We have a lot of stories on the wheel, so we don't have time to talk about them all. So we spin the wheel and we pick one story and we go a little in depth. We have Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. We have the albino cyclops shark. We have the doomsday prepper survival kitty. A lot of kitties
on this,
by the way.
Yes, please.
We have the badass super soldier ants. We have Harvey Dent, the two-faced kitten. We have the New York trouser rat. We have Florence, the vegetarian shark. We have Toto, the tornado kitten. We have the Icelandic worm monster. The giant Indian jumping death spider.
Wow.
Houdini, the Australian runaway goat. And the albino cyclops shark.
Some of them we have on there twice, apparently.
Is that for some reason?
Yeah. All right, so it is the Kevin and Bean Wheel O Bad Animal Verse. What?
Yeah!
Hit it, Steve!
It's time for
Spin the wheel.
Oh, that's a good one.
The New York Trouser Rat. Fantastic.
Yeah! Yay!
Fantastic.
This is an amazing story. New York City is famous for its rats, as you know. There must be more rats than people living in New York City. But here's a woman on Friday, just this past Friday, who is named Anna Vargas. She's 40 years old. She's sitting on the train on her way to work, and a rat crawls up her leg while she's sitting there on the subway train.
Oh, creepy.
Now, it's funny because everybody has heard the jokes about, oh, you know, rats are more scared of you than you are of them, and how do they know that's where the gold is? But but this one literally crawled up her pant leg, and she started to shake her pant leg violently, and it wouldn't come out.
Oh, man.
So what do you think she did next, Lisa?
Same thing you would have done. You took off her pants.
Oh,
took off her pants.
Absolutely. Are you kidding? With a rat in there?
Oh, yeah.
Bad news.
I grabbed his head because he was scratching me. I didn't want him to bite me. The train came to a stop as the woman dropped the rat and ran for help on the platform. I was shivering. I was shaking everything. So that's happening in New York. That's a thing that exists for commuters in New York. We wanted to find out more information, so we asked producer Dave if he could line up for us the New York Trouser Rat, and he joins us on the phone right now. Hi, Ratty. What's going on?
Hey, what are you doing? Hey, what's going on with you guys, eh?
No, we're just talking about this story about you running up this woman's pant leg.
Yeah, hey, how about that? Unbelievable, huh?
It is a little bit. I mean, I'm surprised that a rat could live on a subway car.
Well, I eat what I can, you know? I just saw this broad, and I thought, hey, look, it's a little Mexican food.
I don't like the direction this is going already. I have to be honest. So that's what you did. You just went right up her pants leg.
I went the easiest way I could, up her pants leg. Oh!
Now, is this the first time you've ever done this, or is this something you make a habit of?
Hey, look, sometimes you get hungry, you gotta go for something, you
right,
know?
Sure.
So I'm sniffing around. I was like, hey, this broad's got some cheese in her pants or something.
Oh, no. Come on.
Oh, unbelievable.
The woman was taken to Roosevelt Hospital. She was treated for scratches to her leg and thigh. It was burning, she said, but
yeah,
the doctor said...
she's got rat scratch fever. Oh, unbelievable.
It's kind of insulting to you that she had to get a tetanus shot just because you were in her pants, right?
Well, let's face it, I am a rat, after all.
That's true.
We're not the cleanest things, you know?
That's true. Yeah. Yeah. Most of you don't have stand-up acts, either.
Hey! Yeah. I tell you, I'm like Andrew Mice Clay over here.
This life is more than just a read-through.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and this is the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:39.
Whoops. Sorry, I had my mic down. I have been looking forward to this conversation. I was talking to myself here for just a moment.
How often has that happened from one of us?
Yes, I know. This show, we're coming off the rails. I don't know what's going on here. I've been very much looking forward to talking to our friend Harvey Levin from TMZ.com, as we do every Monday. Once again, fantastic reporting over the weekend, Harvey. You broke the Lindsay Lohan story, and it just continues to fascinate me because it seems like every hour there's something new. How are you, man?
I'm good, guys. How are you?
Very good.
This Lindsay story. Tell me how it first came to your attention. Tell me how the process worked there in the newsroom.
Well, we got a tip and we checked it out, and sure enough, Lindsay plowed into the back of an 18-wheeler on Pacific Coast Highway, and so you know it's never just an ordinary crash, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, first you hear, okay, so she got in the accident. So then we find out. We end up talking to the driver of the 18-wheeler. By the way, Lindsay's car totaled, right? She was a rental Porsche because she banged up the other Porsche that she owns. So the rental Porsche is totaled, and she ends up getting picked up because there's an SUV trailing her so that she can get to the set up in Pacific Coast Highway in Malibu. So the SUV takes her to the hospital. They check her out. She's banged and bruised, but she goes back to the set and she finishes. But that's not the end of the story, because we end up getting the driver of the 18-wheeler. He tells us that right after the accident, her assistant, Lindsay's assistant, who was a passenger in the car, picks up some stuff, puts the stuff, whatever that is, in a pink bag, and then they cover the bag, and they, according to this guy, the assistant says to the driver, do not tell anybody about this bag. Now, Lindsay says he's a liar, but that's what he says.
How or why would that guy make that up?
Yeah.
I don't know. He also says that they offered to take him to a bank and give him some money in return for not saying anything and just going away. So he has now lawyered up. She says that the truck not only cut her off, but that her brakes failed, too, on this rental car, which apparently had its brakes replaced just 2 days before. So she says, A, the truck swerved into her lane, and B, her brakes failed.
And C, I'm not buying it.
Yeah, well, you're not buying it. 94% of the people on our website are not buying it either.
So, okay. First of all, there's nothing automatically suspicious about the assistant gathering Lindsay's possessions out of a totaled car before
unless you believe this guy when he says when the assistant said don't tell anybody about this bag.
Why on earth would she even say that though? I mean,
true. It's a weird thing to say.
It's a weird thing to say. Yeah.
So, I mean, I got to say, I have great suspicion that this was said just because it's, you know, you don't say anything. You just kind of gather it up and you just put it in a car, in the SUV.
Right.
So it doesn't really make sense why he would say that. So I don't know.
Yeah, that's
what
true.
She seems to always get entangled with people who are not going to do the right thing with her.
Yes, exactly. What is the truck driver saying happened that caused the accident?
Well, he got rear-ended, so he doesn't know. You know, there's a witness who says she just wasn't paying attention. Now, no alcohol or drugs were involved, according to authorities we spoke with. So it wasn't like she was, you know, doing it. I think this was right around where all that traffic merges on PCH, which is always dicey. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Meaning it stops.
You know the way you go down the incline and you kind of merge into traffic on PCH?
Yeah.
It was around that area. You know, if you're not paying attention on PCH, bad things can happen.
Right,
and
right.
It just sounds like that may have been what happened here, because usually when you rear-end somebody, it means you're not paying attention.
Do we know if she got the supplemental insurance on the Porsche when she rented it?
Good question. I do not have an answer to that. I do not have an answer to that, but that's a good question. Although, you know, sometimes that's bogus, because if you're insured, your insurance should cover what happens in the rental.
Right, but then your insurance goes up, I think. I don't know how it works.
So Lindsay's car gets towed away, and then how does she get back to work? Does the set send somebody to come get her?
There was an SUV right behind her because they were following her to the set, which is really interesting that when you're a producer, you always have somebody following Lindsay during the shoot.
Look, so I know she's driving up, but just be right behind her.
Right. So the SUV literally was right there, and that's why she got away before an ambulance or anybody got to the scene, because she got in the SUV and she just went right to the hospital.
What's likely to happen as a result of this, and does this have any effect whatsoever on her being on that sort of semi-probation that she's on right now?
No, I mean, look, no, it's not going to have any impact realistically. I mean, she may get sued, who knows, but, you know, it's hard for me to believe. The driver of the 18-wheeler said he was okay initially. Well, now he's hired a lawyer, and he says, I'm kind of sore now. I got to say, a Porsche versus an 18-wheeler, I don't think that the 18-wheeler is going to feel good.
Especially if you're rear-ended. Especially if you're rear-ended. It would take an awful lot for it to get to you all the way up in the cab. But it's so interesting. For those of us who thought, well, this seems awfully shaky that Lindsay's people are allegedly trying to pay this truck driver off. Now you know why, though, if the next day the truck driver is going, oh, it hurts. I think I need a lawyer and a doctor. I mean, this is the danger you have when you're a famous person.
Totally. And, you know, when you hire a lawyer, it's like it's just all of a sudden, you know, this is the oldest trick in the book. And even, you know, it happens even if you're driving an expensive car and you get in an accident, the other person always hurts.
Absolutely. Look, it's hard to give – tell me if I'm wrong here, Harvey. It's hard to give Lindsay the benefit of the doubt, even based on no facts. I always assume that she somehow contributed to dumbass things happening to her, right?
Well, but look, I mean, if she just would have shut up, but when we find out she's saying – number one, that the guy swerved into the lane. Okay, I could even maybe buy that.
Right.
But then to add, and my brakes failed, she's lost me.
Agreed.
I mean,
absolutely. Agreed, and she wouldn't have had to say anything except for she could have just stuck with the
stuck
truck
with, stick
swerved.
With the swerving. Stick with the swerving.
Right.
But my brakes failed? Come on.
If she would do the thing that other people do, which is she should also call the police. She was involved in an accident.
Yes.
You know, do the thing that people are supposed to do in those
Lindsay
situations.
I don't think Lindsay ever wants to call the police.
Yeah, really.
Let's be honest.
It's like, I'm Lindsay Lohan. I think you're familiar with me.
Yes. Now, Harvey, I wanted to bring up another story that you covered, and there was a big controversy over the weekend, the Manny Pacquiao fight, and how everybody thinks it may have been fixed, and there's no way that Manny Pacquiao lost that. I didn't see until I saw on your site that this fighter, Timothy Bradley, had tweeted a photo of a poster for the rematch about 2 weeks ago.
Well, that doesn't look. That just means he was is braggadocio that he says he's going to win. You know, I mean, that doesn't surprise me because there was an automatic rematch.
Right, but they have a date and the whole that doesn't surprise you? It doesn't seem odd that they would put the poster up with the date and when tickets go on sale and all that stuff?
It doesn't because if you're, I know where your head's going in this. It would be so ridiculous for him to do that 2 weeks. It doesn't make sense. I mean, it's just got to be a braggadocio move. The funniest thing for me about the fight is that one of the judges who gave it to Bradley said, "Hey, this is an American Idol," which I think is hilarious. I guess what he's saying is we're not doing a popularity contest with Pacquiao.
Right.
I thought that was a bizarre comment.
Well, as always, TMZ.com is the entertainment website of record. You got great stuff there on the Jersey Shore fights, on what's going on with the Dierdick versus Tosh battle, and so much great stuff. Check your local list.
And Chris Humphreys calling the FBI on his new girlfriend.
What?
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
Wow.
Check out your local listings for all the various TMZ shows, including the regular TMZ show and the new TMZ Live at 3 on Channel 11. Thanks, Harvey. Have a great week, man.
You too, guys.
Ralph is here. Time for the Showbiz Bee now on a Monday Kevin and Bean show. Hey, Ralph.
Because it's Monday, we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office this weekend. And surprisingly, number one was Madagascar 3. All those animals trying to get back to New York City. This time they ended up in Europe. Those animals, they've got a lousy sense of direction, don't they?
They're having a hard time getting
back. They're Africa
home.
And they're Europe.
I'll tell you.
What's next? Iceland? Anyway, $60 million it made at the box office this weekend. Prometheus was strong enough to be number two with $50 million. Snow White and the Huntsman was third. Men in Black 3 and the Avengers. It's your top five movies. Then the best exotic Marigold Hotel was sixth. What to Expect When You're Expecting, Battleship, The Dictator, and Moonrise Kingdom, which I saw last week and loved, is number 10.
Ralph, you
office.
See that Prometheus? I know you love Charlize.
No, I haven't had time. Hadn't had time to get there this weekend, but I will check it out this week for
I
sure.
I saw it, and Charlize is scary in it. You do not want to cross her.
Scary in
right now.
Snow White and the Huntsman,
yes,
too.
Yes, she is.
She's been all scary lately. What happened to lovely, sweet Charlize we used to see in movies? Now she's all killing people and being a young adult and being a bitch and murdering Snow White and sending people to planets.
Having sex with Patton Oswalt, that one movie.
Don't young even adult. Know anymore. Yeah. Young adult, the movie I said first. Young adult. Snow White and the Huntsman has made almost $100 million at the box office this weekend. So much so that Universal Pictures is already talking about a follow-up to that film. A sequel is being discussed with director Rupert Sanders. And in fact, everyone in the film, all the actors, have been signed on for two sequels. So it looks like we'll be seeing more Kristen Stewart running through the woods.
Yes.
But they'll kill her at the end, though, right? Right?
Hopefully.
We hope. We
For
hope.
Real, though.
Zachary Levi's joining the cast of Thor. Former star of Chuck on television will be playing one of Thor's fellow warriors from Asgard. He is replacing an actor.
Asgard.
Stop it. He's replacing an actor named Josh Dallas, who appeared in the original, because he now has a series called Once Upon a Time that was picked up by NBC. And so he won't be able to reprise his role in Thor 2, so it looks like Zachary Levi will take over for him. Interestingly enough, Zachary Levi was offered the role originally in the first Thor, but he couldn't take it because of Chuck.
No kidding.
That Chuck's over, he's going to take that role, so everything works out at the end.
Asgard.
And did you see Lady Gaga get beaned in the melon?
Awesome.
How great is that footage?
It's very, very funny.
You can check it out online. She is performing her number Judas on stage when one of her backup dancers is moving what looks like a giant metal pole, a piece of scenery, and just swings around and just tags her right in the head. I was impressed by the fact that she kept on singing. Oh, wait a minute. She was lip-syncing, obviously, to a track that kept playing while she was...
Oh, that's so funny.
While she was grabbing her melon, trying not to pass out. She was in Auckland, New Zealand, and she said she thought she had a concussion,
but she would finish the show, she told the crowd.
Because she's not singing.
And she did. So I think it's awesome.
I didn't realize that Lady Gaga lip syncs at her concerts.
Well, I don't know. I've never seen her in concert. I'm just watching the footage. And there's music. There's her singing going on. Maybe they play her song or something while she's acting out. It looks like she was doing some elaborate sort of action sequence or something.
Or sometimes they'll just play it and leave their mic up. And
maybe they play it in the background or something. But she was, the song was going, and I saw her start to wobble, and the music continued to play with her voice. So the song kept going. Whatever was happening there continued on. But she looked stunned, to say the least. That was very funny. She should have been wearing a meat helmet. That's
what
she would have had, something to protect her head. Today's celebrity birthday, Shia LaBeouf is 26 years old. Joshua Jackson from Fringe and Dawson's Creek is 34. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones over there on HBO, 43 years old. Hugh Laurie, formerly of House, I miss House already, 53 years old. And actor Gene Wilder is 79. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Thanks for tuning in today. I am very excited to welcome, in the history of the Kevin and Bean Show, I believe the first jockey we have ever had on the show, the lovely Chantel Sutherland, joins us here in studio. Hi, Chantel. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
Well, you were supposed to be here an hour ago, and I've been fending off your fans on Twitter who wonder where the hell you are by explaining that, you know, cut you a break. You rode your horse into K-Rock today, and it's very difficult out there on a busy Monday morning.
Yes, it is.
Probably would have been easier to ride a horse here.
I think so. I would have been faster. Traffic. Yeah.
So I am fascinated with the profession that you are in, being a horse jockey. How long have you been doing it, Chantel?
13 years.
13 years. All right. And it seems like it would be, I don't know, like anything in the sports or entertainment world, unbelievably competitive and unbelievably difficult to get into, and even harder to make a living at. Am I wrong?
No, it is a difficult, competitive industry. You know, when you put a lot of money in front of people's faces, can get very competitive, very cutthroat sometimes. But it's a wonderful sport. It's a beautiful sport, and the horses are amazing. And when everything works out, it's pretty fun. It's pretty exciting to be on a grand stage in a racetrack with thousands of screaming fans. It's just unbelievable.
What percentage of the victory goes to the horse, and what percentage goes to the rider?
Okay, so if you had a $100,000 race, 60% of that purse money goes to the winning horse and owner, and then the jockey makes 10% of that 60%. And then, you know, I pay my agent 25% and my valet, who takes care of all my equipment, 5% of that. And then my friend, the government.
Yeah. Taxes. Gets all the rest.
Wow. You really get
Obama,
sliced up.
How you doing?
Well, so by the time you slice it that thin, it's not a huge payday for you, even if you win a major race, right?
Well, it can be good. You got to win, though. So it's very much about winning.
Yeah. Now, you were telling Dave, our producer in the other room, and I'm sure you know a lot of these people that we see on TV, but the jockey who came in second for every race in the Triple Crown this year, he was second at the Preakness, second at the Derby, second at the Belmont this weekend. How much is something like that worth to a guy like him?
You know, I know Mike very well, and I know that he's an amazing rider, and he himself personally would take it very hard, you know, getting beat like that. And it's not like he's getting beat like large amounts. He's just getting beat,
just
and
barely.
It's for any rider, any jockey, it's tough to wake up the next day and start again, and it's a very emotional roller coaster being a jock. And I really, you know, sometimes you feel things in a race, and I think, you know, I didn't think he did anything wrong. It's just one of those situations. You got beat.
Did he have any control over it, or do you have
You have a sense. You have a tenth of a second to make a sort of a sense of who's coming on your outside or your inside. And, you know, you don't ever want to be on the rail. Sometimes it gets bogged down there, and it's not as easy for the horses to get through the track. And I think it looked like Johnny, the winner, Union Rags, was a little bit in his blind spot. Mm-hmm. And I don't know if you've ever been driving a car, and you kind of go to make a lane change, and, oh, there's a car there.
Yeah.
So, you know. I don't know. I think you rode a great race. It just didn't work out.
Yeah. This is the voice of Chantel Sutherland here on the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to be taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you have ever wanted to ask a jockey, it's a topic we don't talk about very often on this show, but I am interested in it. I know hundreds of thousands of Southern Californians have seen you race. I mean, you've been racing in these parts for a number of years now.
Are there people who think that all the jockey does is hop on the horse and say go, and then the horse just does the rest? Would people be stunned at how much you have to do during a short race?
I think so. I think that jockeys make it look really easy, and it's not an easy skill. It's very hard. It's time-consuming to just be as strong as we are, and it takes a lot of balance, and it takes a lot of determination and a lot of guts because it's kind of a dangerous game, and I guess you really got to love it.
Do you kind of map out each race depending on who you're running against and how you plan to run it? You have a real plan in mind?
You do, and then you stumble at the gate, and then that's all.
And then
the door,
everything,
you're like, oh, my God, now what am I going to do? Yeah. So you try. You kind of know your jockeys, and you learn when you ride with them. You kind of study their moves. You know what they do. I know, for example, there's a great rider, Martin Pedroza. The last thing I'm going to do in a race is go up the inside of him. He can be a very tough, gritty rider. You just pick your spots, you know, who you can kind of take advantage of or who you can't, and hopefully you have the horse behind you to maneuver yourself and kind of make decisions.
Are there the bad boys of jockeys who everybody hates because they cut you off or they cheat or they whatever? There've got to be some.
You know, it's kind of like it can be a boys' club sometimes, but I've learned to make alliances with guys and make friendships out there because sometimes you're going to need out.
Yeah.
And if you have a friend that can let you out, you know, it's gonna make you a little more money than not having a friend.
What percentage of riders are women?
1%
at this level. 1%.
1%. And it's a unisex sport.
1%.
Well, there's some good girl riders, just not a lot. I mean, there's really myself right now at Hollywood Park. We did have another girl, Kayla. She's a great rider. She's pregnant now, so she's can't
make
weight.
Not so easy to...
Like they do. Hey, why are there so few? I mean, is it physically, is it too difficult for most women? Is that why?
Oh, I don't know if I could say that. A lot of women...
Because she does it, but...
A lot of women are really strong, and I think mentally we're pretty tough.
Why is it 1%? Is it a boys' club? Is it hard to break into?
Probably, like so many sports.
I don't know. I guess at our age, you know, a lot of women just decide to have families or it's not really a...
It sounds pretty grueling.
Really job choice. Yeah, it's demanding for sure. You have to eat healthy. I have to lose 4 pounds between now and Saturday because I have a horse that's getting in pretty light. So
you can't possibly lose 4 pounds between now and Saturday.
I know.
Yeah, it's a lot of running.
Wow.
Today I'm going to go run 6 miles up a mountain and then I'm going to go in the gym for an hour with my trainer.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Before we take a break, and again, we're going to take your calls for Chantal at 1-800-520-1067. There's not a lot about horse racing that turns me on, except the relationship between you and the horse. That's what's fascinating to me. I mean, there must be horses that you've just been in love with that you feel like you guys are in sync and you can read each other's minds and they know exactly what you want from them. And that must be the most beautiful feeling in the world.
It's amazing. Like, I have a horse called Game On Dude. And he is such a star. I get in the race, he puts himself in his nice rhythm, and he's got one little ear. Horses' ears are like their antennas, and it tells you how they're feeling. And anyway, he's got one, his right little ear will come back at me and go forward, and he's just listening to me. And then I get to run on the quarter pole, and I'm like, hey, we got to go, buddy. And as soon as I think it and I feel it and I just give him that, his little ears go back, and he puts his head down, and he just takes off. And I was second in the Breeders' Cup on him. I've won the Sandy and Handicap. I mean, this horse is in love with me, and I love him too. And you can just feel it. They're just genuine.
Do any
love.
Hate you?
Huh?
Do any hate you?
Oh, yeah.
Or
sure.
Refuse to do what you say or don't pay attention?
And then do you say, I'm not going to ride that horse anymore?
Sometimes. For example, like, fillies are very temperamental. They don't like to be pushed around or
because bitches be crazy, Chantal.
Yeah,
come on, we know that.
Very similar to girls. They get very anxious and a little uptight. And sometimes you can pet them, and sometimes they're like, don't touch me.
Wow.
So you kind of feel it out on post-parade. And then colts, they're typical, like, a man. They're, you know, not very focused all the time. trying to get fresh with the pony. You know, hey, come here.
So what are the ways that you communicate with the horse? Some of it is through voice. You have that little whip that you use sometimes, right? And also you're moving your legs, right? You're signaling what you want in which direction and speed up, slow down stuff with your legs as well, right?
Well, you know, your legs are used mostly for, hunter jumper or dressage. With being a jockey, because the horse moves so fast, we have to be higher in the saddle. So we don't really use our legs other than just for balance. And you steer basically with your hands, your reins, and you hope that you know, your trainer's giving you a good bit, because sometimes steering can be difficult. And, yeah, you have your, you know, your crop, and that kind of can help you out a little bit.
And that doesn't hurt, right? That doesn't hurt the horse.
I don't really know. I mean, it's a great question. I think we try very hard in our industry to do things right by the horse, and we have these new cushion whips, so it's got, like, a foam on the end of it. Mm-hmm. So it makes more of a noise than anything, but, you know, I'm sure it's not, you know.
Comfortable.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like.
But I think horses, yes. I mean, if I was to hit, you know, your rear end or, you know, we're a little different than horses. I mean, they have a, you know, a thicker hide than us, but.
Yeah, we'd cry like a baby.
Interesting stuff. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back with your telephone calls. If you have questions you've always wanted to ask a jockey, today's your day at 1-800-520-1067. And is this true, Chantel, that you have won close to 1,000 races?
Yeah, I'm getting close. I'm pretty excited about it.
Wow. All right, so we got someone in studio who knows what the hell she's talking about. So that's a refreshing change here on the Kevin Bean Show. We'll take your calls next right after this. She has been competing as a jockey since she was 5 years old. Chantel Sutherland in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. We're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. If you'd like to, ask a jockey. Kevin and Bean, ask a jockey. We're going to ask her how it's done. Ask a jockey. So you get paid. Why beat your game? You must think horse racing is fun.
But what Kevin and Bean are going to do is...
What kind of LSD is Omar on?
Omar's on bath salts. Listen to pre-listen.
That was frightening. Hey, 1-800-520-1067. Let's take a couple of calls here. Let's start with Melissa. She is on line 4 to get us going. You're on with Chantel Sutherland. ChantelSutherlandJockey.com, by the way, is the website. Hi, Melissa.
Hi there. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Hey, Chantel.
Hi.
Hey, just a question. So as somebody who probably, obviously loves horses, how do you deal emotionally with the excessive suffering of these horses for the race?
So you mean suffering how? Like?
Like the 700 to 800 horses die a year from the racing industry. So, I mean, does that...
Is that true? Is that number accurate?
Yeah.
I don't know myself, but I know that I'm part of Karma, which is finding retired horses, or horses retired... Sorry, thoroughbred horses that are retired homes. And I know our industry tries tirelessly to make sure that a lot of horses are, you know, find nice places and are looked after. I know that our industry, too, you know, some horses are better taken care of than a lot of people in this world. And from bathing them to chiropractics to acupuncturists, they have amazing...
They have a horse chiropractor.
Oh, yeah. They have psychologists for them.
What?
Yes, I'm not kidding. It's crazy.
Is it stressful physically for them to race? Chantel, I don't know much about that.
I think like anything, any athlete, it's hard on yourself as far as, you know, if I was to go in a competition and run in a marathon or, you know, a foot race, it's, you know, the next 2-3 days off to recover, you know, is important, and they do that with the horses. Horses only run once a month, mm-hmm. if that, and some a little more. It depends on the horse, depends on the trainer.
Mm-hmm. Right, but for every horse that's tired in a race, there's another horse that gets you getting photographed on top of them naked for Vanity Fair. So there are some pluses to being a horse, too, by the way.
How have we gone this long without bringing that up?
I think it's worth mentioning you're in the June Vanity Fair magazine with a photo that was taken by actress Bo Derek, who obviously is a huge horse rider and supporter as well. And that was kind of like random out of the blue for you, right?
Yeah, Bo and I are good friends. And then she just called me one day and said, you know, do you want to do Vanity Fair? And I said, okay, what's your idea?
Yeah, how did she pitch it exactly? How did she get you into it? She said, well, you're not going to like it at first.
Yeah, we went back and forth a little bit. I was a little apprehensive, but I love Bo, and she's an amazing woman, and she's I trust her, and I think she, you know, had an idea, and it was her breakout photo, and I'm very honored. And you know,
I had the same idea when I saw you, too, by the way. It was not hard to come up with that idea. And by the way, that's not what bareback racing means, okay? Just so you know.
Stop it.
Let's try Anthony. He's on line 1. He has kind of a basic question for you. You're on with Chantel. It's time to ask a jockey. Go ahead, Anthony.
Oh, hi. Hard to follow up that last subject. But, as far as your balance and your finesse on a horse, I don't think there's anybody that compares to you. But when you come down the stretch, what's the comparison between the strength of a male jockey versus the strength of a female jockey?
Well, I think it's very important to be strong and balanced on a horse. However, I think you can out-man a horse, too. Like, you can over-muscle them or, you know, moving around or over-riding a horse, too, can kind of get a horse off their game, off their rhythm. I think, you know, it's just a fine line of being strong enough, but you don't want to, you know, over-hit them or override them, and it can impede you, too. So, I mean, I don't think you have to hit horses very hard to make them perform for you. I think they perform for you because they love you, and I think that they...
Is that the most important thing?
I think so. I think that if you genuinely you want to win, I think they feel that from you, and they're just trained in a certain way that they try themselves. They're just naturally, they love to run. They're naturally competitive. You know, some of the greatest horses, I mean, Game On Due, the last race I rode him, I never hit him. He doesn't need to be hit. He's just trying so hard. I don't know. I think it's important to be strong, but it's not everything. You don't have to be
Anthony,
like,
thank you very much for the call. Game On Dude, your favorite horse, by the way, is co-owned by Joe Torre, former manager of the Los Angeles Dodgers, right?
Yeah. He's very nice. And he comes out to the races a lot.
Does he really?
Actually. Yeah.
Let's take one more. This is Eric on line three as you ask a jockey on the Kevin and Bean Show. Go ahead, Eric.
Hi. I had a question. How do you pick a winning horse? It's making its rounds, you know, are there any telltale signs that a horse
it's a great question because, I mean, people buy a horse for $5,000 or $10,000 or something like that. It ends up being worth $10 million. I mean, how do you know what to look for, or does anybody know? Is it just a surprise? You have no idea how it's going to work out.
You know, there's a lot of things I guess you could look at. For example, if I was to walk down the street with Steve Urkel, maybe, I think I look a little more athletic than he does. I don't know if it's really good.
No, that's good.
But when you look at horses, they, you know, they just have a presence about them, the way that their legs look, and they look athletic, and they just gracefully move. As far as, you know, picking a horse that you might think that could win a race, you look at their past performances in the racing form, or, you know, you can get a program at the track, and it will tell you, you know, what they've done in the past, and, you know, what category race they're in right now, and, you know, that kind of helps.
It's a huge gambling sport. I mean, that's what most of the people who go there to watch do.
Yeah, and basically you're gambling or handicapping against all the people at the track. So, for example, in this room, it would be me against you guys, and I think, you know, having everyone has certain knowledge more than others, and
you would have a lot more than us.
So then, you can make money off that. Like, it would be fun.
I think it's fascinating what you told us during the commercial, that you're not allowed to walk around at the racetrack, though, because you can't come in contact with anyone who has money on the race, right?
Right. So when we enter the jocks room and we're riding that day, we have to be we're in the jocks room, and it's kind of like, you know, we're not allowed out.
They lock you in.
Pretty much. Yeah. You're on lockdown. But you can, you know, wander around the jocks room, but we can't really go outside the jocks room or, you know, talk to the patrons.
And you're not allowed to own a horse either. That's something else.
Right. No, we're not allowed to own a horse because it'd be conflict of interest.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Well, when's your next race, Chantel? Because now that people have heard you, maybe they want to start following you.
I'm racing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And then
only just Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday?
And I ride 3 on Thursday.
And where is that?
That's at Hollywood Park.
At Hollywood Park, yeah.
Fantastic.
Awesome.
The website is ChantelSutherlandJockey.com, and you can follow Chantel on Twitter at Jockey Chantel. Thank you so much for coming in. We really enjoyed hearing about it.
Thank you, too. It was really fun.
Time for one more look at the showbiz beat now here on a Monday, Kevin and Bean Show. Here's Ralph.
It is Monday. That means we take a look at the top 10 movies at the box office. This weekend, the big winner was Madagascar 3. I sure am a lion trying to get home. Oh, I'm a zebra. Oh, where's that big fat hippo? We are in Europe.
I didn't see this one, but I've seen others, and they're pretty well done.
Yeah.
Hmm.
Kevin has done his time going to see these movies. When does your hell begin where you have to go to every one of them with Olivia?
It's
got to be coming up soon, right?
No, she's just 2. She's not ready to sit through a movie yet. But, I don't know, in a year, I guess, maybe we'll start that.
She'd enjoy Prometheus. She should take
I'm going to take her to see that, sure. She loves the space jockey mythology. Prometheus was number 2 to Madagascar 3, which made $60 million. Prometheus made only $50 million this weekend.
That's a lot.
It was good enough to make it number 2. Snow White and the Huntsman, $23 million, made it number 3. Men in Black 3, The Avengers, was 5th. Best Exotic Marigold Hotel was 6th. What to Expect When You're Expecting, Battleship, The Dictator, and Moonrise Kingdom, wrapping up the top 10 at the box office this weekend. Bethany Frankel, Real Housewife of a City. has a talk show, which is debuting this afternoon on Fox stations in several markets around the country. It's here in Los Angeles at 2 p.m. it will debut. The reason I bring it up is because Mike Catherwood will be one of her special guests, and Mike will be a continuing contributor on that program. So if you want to check Mike out, 2 o'clock today. Then, of course, later on this week, he's also in one of the chairs of The Choice.
Mm-hmm. The Choice.
The Choice. Even
Loveline Loverboy, Mike Catherwood.
It even sounds like the voice.
Yeah,
the Choice.
It does.
It's
and
one.
They're in those chairs.
It's a consonant away from being the voice, really.
Yeah.
They're in those chairs. They spin around.
Mm-hmm.
Mike was just saying he hopes they don't edit out all of the stuff he tried to pull while he was in the chair. Because he didn't really care about finding a girl.
Right.
He said all the other girls were like desperate to really get dates and stuff, and he was just trying to monkey with people.
That's always his deal.
Hopefully there's some hilarity that will ensue. Congratulations to Matthew McConaughey and Camilla Alves. They got married over the weekend. It's about time, too. They've got 2 kids already. They've been together for 6 years, for God's sakes. Put down the bong, Matthew, and pick up a ring.
Here's the question I have, Ralph, and I don't know if this was in any of the news reports, but did he wear a shirt to the wedding?
Does not say, but I'm assuming for a formal occasion, he probably put on at least a wife beater.
Okay, good.
But only
for
that.
A formal event, yeah. You know.
He took that off 5 foot.
A muscle tee, or maybe a dress shirt with the sleeves ripped off. Maybe that's how he showed up. Lady Gaga got beaned over the weekend. She took a pull to the face.
Well, the top of the head.
Well, still, it's in that region. She was dancing her little butt off in Auckland, New Zealand this weekend when one of her backup dancers was moving a giant piece of scenery and wheeled around and just pegged her right in the top of the skull. Gaga told the crowd that she thought she had a concussion but would finish the show anyway, and she did. No word on whether she actually had a concussion or not. She might have just been milking the sympathy factor, but if you watch the footage, you can find it online.
It's quite funny.
Just YouTube Gaga head. That's what I punched in. And
I rented that over the weekend.
And I found it. And she sure gets biffed pretty strongly.
It's quite funny.
Yeah. Pink was in the hospital this weekend. She had to have her gallbladder removed.
Oh, ouch.
You know how we found out? Because she tweeted, F you, gallbladder. That's how we know. Yeah, she was supposed to perform last Wednesday at a fundraiser in Hollywood for President Obama, but had to cancel because her gallbladder was all angry at her, and now it's out.
Okay, explain the pink.
You know, Mrs. Bean just went through that a couple of months ago. Had her gallbladder practically explode on her. She had to go in for emergency surgery. Not fun. Bad deal.
No. Anything in your body that can explode,
yeah,
I think, by nature is sort
you don't
of
want that.
Sort of questionable.
Correct.
I don't like things that can just blow up on you. And it looks like Sean Penn and his new girlfriend are still going strong. That's supermodel Petra Nemcova, for those of you who aren't aware.
That's just not possible.
Yeah. New York Post reported that they were seen together at the Cannes Film Festival on vacation in Mexico after that, and they seemed very, very much in love.
And she seems, like, so full of light and just gentle and fun and, I don't know, just the opposite of everything we think we know about Sean Penn.
Maybe they're yin and yang. Maybe they complement each other. And Kanye West's birthday was last Friday. What do you get the man who has everything? More
everything?
That's what his porn star girlfriend Kim Kardashian got for him. She got him a rare Aventador LP Lamborghini 700-4. Oh, the 700-4. That's the one to get.
I tried the 700-3, and
I took the 700-2 for a test drive, and it felt sluggish to me in the turns. This is a car that goes from 0 to 60 in 2.8 seconds.
Wow.
And can get up to 215 miles per hour if you really press it, if you're hitting the red line.
And 4 miles per gallon, do you guess?
4 gallons per
mile.
On
the highway. On the highway, yeah, not right. City driving.
So that's got to run you at least $15,000 to $20,000, a car like that, right?
A car like that? Oh, yeah. You're talking, wait a minute. Let me see what the price tag here is. $750,000. $750,000 for an automobile.
Unless you're racing that car, I can't understand spending that kind of money.
Unless that car,
I agree,
provides services for you that usually a Thai hooker can only provide, I don't think it's worth $750,000 of
money. I agree. You should get your money's worth.
You should. There should be a vacuum pump.
I think
on
we all
the steering
understand.
Column. I don't think you understand.
I think it's clear.
I think there should be a fleshlight.
Got it. Clear.
That
it.
Drops from the ceiling like an oxygen mask during a decompression in an airplane.
Like at every stoplight.
Every time you stop.
Today's celebrity impressions. What?
Huh? What celebrity impression are you going to do today, Ralph?
I'd like Christopher Walken, please.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Gene Wilder, 79 years old today. Hugh Laurie from House, 53 years old. Peter Dinklage from Game of Thrones is 43. Joshua Jackson from Fringe, and many remember him as Pacey on Dawson's Creek, 34 years old today. I've got a script that would be perfect for Joshua Jackson.
Yeah?
A perfect script, and he would be perfect in it.
Yeah?
I just need to get it to him somehow. Well, first, I need to write it. I need to finish writing it. But then I need to get it to him. And then he's going to be a big, big movie star.
You may never finish writing it, though.
That's very possible.
That's the problem.
Shia LaBeouf is 26 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Thank you, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, an all-new Bean's Death Corner as Bean continues to celebrate human death, which he loves.
Great. That's sweet.
We're going to take your calls about your four-hour boners. Another band I saw at the True Blessing.
Oh, they're very good.
We have Rob Dyrdek in the studio talking about his Street League, and we have Guy Pierce from Prometheus.
What?
Wow. How about that? All tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean.